Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the globe. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you, yes, you, becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, we're jumping into why lone wolfing as men in the modern world makes a lot of sense. Subconsciously. And the subconsciously part is such a key part to speak to. It's underneath the conscious mind, it's underneath the awareness of the rational mind, but it is driving, it has been driving generations of men, but like never before, today's generation of powerful men like you, every single one of you listening in, like myself, it's a fucking really, really intensely difficult and hard path in modern life to show up as a powerful leader in a family. Women, our beautiful wives, they have their own unique challenges. One thing for sure, speaking to you powerful men, heroic husbands around the planet, it's never been more difficult to be a husband in the history of humanity. I would say there can be many different back arguments, but it's never been as difficult as this. We're undergoing on a world level more sociological, political, geographical, climate change, economic change, technological change, and the masculine, feminine, gender change expectations. Man, it's a mosh pit of chaos on one level. And yet, I do invite, you know, from here, it's like when you practice the masculine pose of embodied presence and find a stillness, chaos is external. Inside that, you find that stillness. From there, you start seeing things with much greater clarity. It's my expectation today's episode. There's going to be way more clarity for a lot of you guys listening in on this really incredibly important topic of lone wolfing. Should I keep lone wolfing? Is there power in that? Is there a sacred expression of masculine strength in going it by myself versus, no, I'll cross this energetic bridge and I'll reach out and gain support. The bulk of it is going to be speaking to why it makes a lot of sense. This comes from, well, one specific voice message. Again, thank you to everybody that's been sending in these messages. I find it so inspiring. It's very natural. It gets it really genuinely conversational for me as a podcast host to be speaking to one guy. But by extension, I'm speaking to all guys. The voice message that comes in is from Brian. Thank you for giving your permission to use your name and your message, Brian. Brian's message goes like this. Hi, Mark. I'm 10 years into marriage and have two kids. I have been journaling, listening to podcasts, reading self-help and relationship books, exercising, meditating, etc. For years now. I do a ton of self-work like this, but none of it seems to improve my marriage struggles, which are really fucking shitty, dramatic, and intense a lot of the time. No matter how much inner work I do on myself, it doesn't seem to make any difference. It seems at times it makes the disconnection that shows up in my marriage even worse, if that makes sense. I'm beginning to think I need some external support and accountability from the likes of you or a therapist or somebody, but getting outside support feels weak. It feels like I'm failing as a man. I think it's just me building more victim mentality into my marriage woes, believing I'm not good enough to do this by myself. There's a deep conflict inside me on getting support versus trying to dig even deeper into changing my marriage by myself. Mark, can you please help clarify or give me some guidance to support me in this situation I find myself in? Brian, first of all, building that foundation, man, I see you, I hear you. This definitely showed up in my own marriage, Brian, for years. I've been doing a ton of self-help work. Like for, I would say like 8 or 9 years, if I had already kicked off my self-help awareness journey before being in marriage. So I'd been doing it for years, and yet my marriage was falling apart before my eyes, and I didn't even realize what was happening, that it was happening. I was minimizing and normalizing, and I was blind to the erosion of my marriage. So I can totally understand that part, and the deep frustration, because you're seeming like you really seem, I really understand, I want to acknowledge you for your intentionality. You're doing this work. And extending it, all guys listening in, you know, a good number of guys listening in. Some of you maybe not. Like, that's okay. Well, you're getting up to speed. You're listening into the single, number one most powerful, marriage supporting, husband supporting podcast on the planet. Who fucking yeah to that? Be the husband she brags about. It's an amazing resource that you're listening into. So those of you that maybe mightn't resonate with Brian's story or my story, that, you know, reading all these books and listening to podcasts for years, you're getting up to speed, and it's a really potent source of information and inspiration. So you're all doing self-work, whether you have a 10-year history of it or it's just recently, you're all doing that. So Brian, every single man listening in can resonate, I imagine. A lot of guys will have been doing it like for years, and still our wives reflect back. It's like, it doesn't seem like the self-help work and all our listening and reading and all that is making a difference. And I would underline that is meaningful to her. And I'd underline the last little bit, yet, to shift into a growth mindset, you always go, man, I haven't yet figured out how to do marriage like this. I haven't yet figured out how to go beyond struggle, daily struggle, weekly struggle, this drama with my wife. So, Brian, there's the context straight off. Like, man, you haven't yet got there, but we're going to support you getting there in a very big way. The whole lone wolf thing, like, it seems like the core, Brian, of this is this inner conflict of, you know, there's a part of you, like in your words, where is it? It's like, believes I'm not good enough to do this by myself. This is like the core epicenter of why we lone wolf, is there's a part of like shame and inadequacy. I'm this feeling, I'm not good enough as a man. I'm not good enough as a husband to do this. And that unchecked, we can get into this subconscious battle of I'll fucking do it, because we attach our personhood to the results we're getting. What I mean by that is like, my marriage is going crap, that must mean I'm not enough. So it's like we continue subconsciously trying to prove, well, if I can just do this by myself, I'll finally reach this, you know, this undesignated day in my future when I can finally go, you know, she's loving me, we're having beautiful sex, our marriage is good, I did it by myself, I am enough, I can rest easy. That's what happens subconsciously. And there's an epidemic of this out there, of men, and women have their own unique version of it, in modern society, this profoundly sick society that engenders so much disconnection from ourselves, from others, from just disconnection from life, the inspiration at the core of what it means to be alive. There's so much disconnection that this is all pervasive out there. Brian, it's not spoken too much, but 99% of people are going around with an unchecked, unrecognized, unspoken feeling that they're just not good enough inherently as a human being, as a husband, or wives have their version of it, etc., etc. We put it on ourselves. It's a really potent force, but I really want to bring that out to the forefront at the beginning of this conversation, because it's, you know, so long as that is unchecked and unspoken to, it dominates, it runs the show from behind the scenes. Brian, the one thing what I'd say is, I've spoken to lone wolfing in recent months, and I pepper it in every now and then. It's a real potent thing. I think there's one part that I haven't spoken to, and your message when I got it, I sit and I reflect on these messages. I really want to bring something that's very meaningful, and useful, but really gets to the root of it. You'll notice, guys, I don't jump into solution oriented. Orientation. It's like, oh, here's the 3 steps you need to do. Because, the oversimplification that the 99.9% of podcasts, blogs, fucking books, Instagram posts, etc., etc., on marriage and relationships do is the fucking oversimplified. It's like, all you need to do, Brian, you just need to hug her. You just need to affirm her. You just need to appreciate her. Just fucking simple things that if you do them, man, they'll work. If you keep doing them, your woman will respond. And yeah, cool. When it's oversimplified, the subconscious mind, there's a part of us that has a handbrake up and doesn't fucking want to budge. It doesn't want the car to go. It doesn't want to take on a new behavior because there's some undealt with shit that's just not allowing the system move and bring change in. That's why this bullshit thing, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, you've got to speak with the old dog. don't mean to compare you or anybody, but the old dog, it's like you've got to speak to a nervous system, to the subconscious part of a nervous system, and make sure that it knows it's being understood. That's what I'm talking about here. Then, and only then, when we're feeling understood and validated, in there's a rock solid sense. It's not because we're silly, it's not because we're stupid, it's not because we're being stubborn. There's lots of shit out there that men are the ignorant ones in marriage, and men don't want to talk, and men are we're this silent, ignorant, stoic, fucking caricatured men. It's like, no fucking way. I don't have any time for that. We have been hurt, and we have subconscious wounds that makes us hold a handbrake up until we feel we're being understood, and so we should. Part of that understanding, Brian, and by extension, all guys, because again, I'm laughing here. I literally start looking around my room like there's all of you in front of me. It's just energetically, I'm feeling so connected with the hundreds of you, this beautiful expanding movement of guys listening in. I am energetically looking around the room. It's like energetically making eye contact with every single one of you. I know it's only ear contact, but you get my gist. I'm speaking to you all, guys. There's an all-pervasive conflict that Brian is beautifully articulating here for us all, on behalf of us all, courageously leading, showing incredible masculine leadership by having the courage to send in this message. We all have a pretty dysfunctional relationship with lone wolfing. What I want to speak to today is the rock solid sense it makes to choose lone wolfing rather than reaching out for support subconsciously. If you go back into your childhood, I know as men, again, lone wolfing is like, no, I like part of us can be, I don't fucking want to go back to my childhood. Just give me the A to B solution mark. Let me get up on my bike and go on my happy way. That's cool, but as I say, if you have a subconscious handbrake up, no amount of positive psychology, no amount of positive next actions you must take to transform your marriage. Guys, go to Instagram. Go to these positive memes shit. That'll make you feel a sense of clarity for or like inspiration for like 2 seconds and feel like you've ticked the box of intentionally looking for new options in your marriage or go fucking deep as we go here. Because it's only when you go deep that the transformation happens and that handbrake goes down. When you go back to childhood, Brian and by extension all guys. Like there again, I bring in the context to bring in a bit more real Brian, as you might have noticed listening in, to how I work with you guys, you know, in these conversations. I don't have you in front of me, but I'm working it like, sort of like how I would work with you systematically if you're showing up in Heroic Husbands men's circles. That it was like, you know, there was three times every 4 weeks I got to go deep with you and the other guys, and what I'd be working with you to support you going through this. What does come up very often, every single time, is bad experiences with what I will call authority figures. And like, buckle up for a second, guys. You know, some of you, well, you might have immediate triggered memories that come up. You'd be like, you might, quite a portion of you will be, yeah, fucking authority figures. You know, that goddamn teacher that sexually abused me. The bus driver that used to call me names and like bullied me in front of other kids. My mom or my dad, you know, authority figures. They did X, Y, and Z. Ton of the time. Just lots of emotional, psychological trauma. You know, it mightn't even seem so severe, but like shit went down. Or there can be severe things that were happening at home. There's like emotional, physical abuse, sexual abuse, alcohol abuse, etc. Drug taking. Shit happens, man. It's okay. But again, it's authority figures. Think about organized religion. Healthcare. Education and governments. You know, I speak to this briefly, but, and it's with full respect and honoring to, you know, some of you out there. If I speak to organized religion, they sort of say, oh, Jesus, don't speak to that. That's like people take it personal. Man, if you take it personal, I mean, maybe part of what you need to work on in your marriage is like taking shit personally. This is an open-hearted, vulnerable, but radically honest sort of conversation. I know you can't speak immediately back to me, but we're leaning in. We got to get fucking radically honest about shit and call it out for what it is. Some of you might have wonderful memories of organized religion and healthcare and education and governments and parents, and cool. Kudos to you. Happy for you. So if you're getting triggered, that means there's probably shit that's undealt that you're just like so suppressing to the back of your mind. Others would be just totally relaxed and calm. That's fine. Everything is welcome here. Organized religion, for one point, like a lot of people, the majority of people will have had some experience, and maybe to this day an experience of, you know, being in an organized religion. What has been my personal first-hand experience, and when this comes out in deep work with guys, there can be a lot of sort of shit that comes up as a result of what we have been conditioned to believe. Because if you think about it, most of you will relate, just statistically, just to honor, and statistically speaking, most of you listening in, Western culture, will have been brought up within a Christian, whatever tradition within the Christian sort of extended family, a Christian upbringing. Like, one thing I speak to, and I've spoke to this before, but like, just to be really honest, like, one bugbear I had when I was younger was, it's like, oh, I remember saying it to a teacher. It was like, hey, Miss Jesus said he's the son of God. She was like, yes. And also Miss Jesus said, like, we're children of God. She's like, yes. And she's smiling, like, it's sweet. I'm this philosophical 9-year-old posing this question. Then I was like, okay, so Miss, you know, you're agreeing with both of those. So that means, like, what Jesus was really saying is, like, we're the same as he is. You know, he's the son of God. And if we're children of God, well, he's our brother. We're the same. He's putting us on the exact same level. And then all of a sudden, like, she tenses up. And she doesn't know what to fucking say. I'm like, and I've had that experience for so many years where it's like, yeah, there's Jesus. Oh my God. Like literally, oh my God. Don't ever like suggest that you're anywhere near him. And then definitely in Ireland, but I know it's happened, like, you know, then there's the man of the cloth. Remember, it's man of the cloth, not woman of the cloth. There's the priest. Again, there's this masculine, feminine, male, female, distinct separation, which is a highly charged thing. And we bring tons of subconscious belief systems into marriage as a result of that there's this inequity between men and women that has been set there for millennia, and organized religion. And there's very few organized religions that have kept men and women. I don't know of any that have kept them. Like Buddhism, I love Buddhism. Dalai Lama, I love, like, Tibetan Buddhism, etc., etc. But, like, hey, it's like 99% of the lamas, they're dudes. Cock and balls between the legs. I mean, there's more there. It's coming. But it's like you look at the big congregations of them when all the lamas get together. Man, it's a dude fest. You know, just talking, being real here. But a lot of it sort of came where, you know, you can come to us for solace, for support. You come to the church, you come to the temple, you come to whatever. But it's like we got conditioned as, like, you can look but don't touch type thing. You know, you're meant to be inspired, but, like, you know, you're sort of repenting as being, you're born as a sinner. Christian teachings, you're born, you know. I mean, really? You know, you sort of have the inspiration, the embodiment of Christ consciousness, of spiritual mastery, of divinity, but it's like you can't reach that. You have to die, and then, like, hopefully you've prayed enough and repented enough that you might just get there. Like, you effectively, it's given you a game that you can't access that in this lifetime. You can come close, but not close enough. And, like, if you ever pretend that you start, like, it just gets, it's an authority figure that says you're down there, we're up here, and unless, you know, if you want to be really become part of the club, you've got to do like 7 or 8 years of training in the Vatican if you've got a cock and balls between your legs, and then you can be part of the club that's sort of like, it's really super exclusive club, but like the best chance for ye, the 99.99999% of the Christian family, is, you know, repent, pray your asses off, and you might get there. Might, maybe, hopefully, when you go beyond this lifetime. It's pretty fucking major from an authority, like a conditioning of an authority. It's like, cool, you can get close, but not close, not too close, or we'll wrap your knuckles. There's also, you know, what I say, and I get very literal, like, when I bring this up, if we were in a conversation, I bring this up, I touch base with guys. It's like, hey, do you believe, you know, like with the teacher, is that what you believe, you know, Jesus said? Like, most people say, yeah, okay, that's sort of widely accepted. That's been written down, recorded. Another one is, like, the kingdom of God is within you. Again, what has this got to do with authority figures? Well, it's really important. This is like root level millennia of culture, millennia of cultural conditioning that has brought about the belief systems of how we show up as human beings now. I mean, it's intergenerational. It's trauma handed down. It's conditioned beliefs handed down. It's everything to do with it. You know, most people that I've spoken to with, and I, you know, very respectfully say, like, do you accept that that's recorded? They're like, yeah, the kingdom of God is within you. Man, that's fucking a phenomenally empowering perspective. But I didn't have much growing up, and a lot of guys, when I speak to this, they're like, yeah, actually, like that's not really so spoken to, that, man, the kingdom of God is within you. That's sort of getting to, like, Jesus, I'm the son of God. You're children of God. The kingdom of God is within you. This fucking incredible universal source energy, you can call it, like, obviously Christian, like, you'll refer to that as God, etc., etc. It's like, it's in you. It's alive and kicking. That's in you. Now, that wasn't really, I didn't get that message. I got a lot of fucking shame. There was judgment from the pulpit. There was a lot of power play when I look back. And so it's a major conditioning relationship of how we learned authority relates with us. And it's not so empowering. And this is like in a lot of organized religions. Hey, I nod and I bow and I honor those of you that might be, hey man, you're speaking out of place here. Maybe your firsthand experience was all super beautiful, super inspiring. Maybe you met embodied humans that were like incredible demonstrations of spiritual mastery themselves, and you never had any of this type of conditioning experience, man, kudos to fucking you. I'm happy for you. I actually wish I had grew up with those type of people, you know, teaching me about spirituality. I didn't, but I know from conversation a fuck ton of guys didn't. This is really important. It's an authority figure telling us how to do things, and it's from a not a very empowered, it's a split level. We're the authority, you're down there, and you know, you have to die to get up here, if you get through. Healthcare, man, I'm passionate about healthcare all lifetime. I'm like, Brian, this is not on the tangent, Brian. This is just stick with me, man. Every guy, stick with you. Stick with me. There's a lot going on. It might seem disconnected, but it's very much connected. Healthcare, you know, modern healthcare, it's very authoritarian. There's like the doctor, the surgeon, there's all these healthcare professions. I was one myself. I was working as a physiotherapist, physical therapist to you guys in the States, Canada, etc. In Australia as well, I believe. You know, it's a very authoritarian, dominated culture and industry. It's like there's the expert outside of you, and if you have ill health, a diseased bodily state, you come to the expert, and the expert administers 99.9% of the time predominantly a passive treatment. Passive being you don't have to do diddly squat. They'll, you know, do surgery on your back before they'll do proactive yoga or physiotherapy for it. Or it's like, you know, it's like painkillers before behavior modification. They'll, you know, it's all on tablets. You know, practice mindfulness, go to a couple of, you know, refer guys to a couple of Tony Robbins events or to teachings, to self-help books. No. They'll be like antidepressants. It's all passive based. Why? Because, well, if you can condition the global population that there's this authority outside of you, that you have no intuitive capacity, you don't have no inherent capacity to heal your body when you're, you know, brought up in a culture and you're taught the exact types of things and behaviors and, you know, breath work and meditation, mindfulness, etc., that can cure so many ailments. This ease is a lack of ease in the body. When you can, you know, be super regulating off your stress levels, and no matter what you're facing, your body is going to be in a state that is going to get healthy really fucking quick. But the conditioning is not so. It's like this authority figure that we should trust. We should be able to trust the doctor. We should be able to trust the whole healthcare industry. We should be able to trust that they have got our best needs, our best priorities in health at hand, because why, they're the experts. I don't mean to like rip that asunder. A lot of you will be awake and aware to this anyway, but it's like, it's total fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. They take the Hippocratic Oath from Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, which it's the most hypocritical bullshit oath that they even tarnish that beautiful spirit's name with this, with naming the oath about it, because it's like, I promise I will not do harm. I don't know the whole thing, but it's like they link him in. His central teaching was the main healers, the greatest healers in the body are the energies of the body. Excuse me, I'm butchering that. It's basically his core teaching was that the greatest healing forces are the forces within the body. And the other really famous one is like, let food be thy medicine. And like, that was the approach, the inherent medicinal properties of good, nutritious food. And it's like, he was always working with people to tap into these natural healing forces within themselves. That's the founder of modern medicine, that they bastardize his name and say, hey, like, you know, let's take the Hippocratic Oath and let's just chop up his entire approach and philosophy to supporting people in their healing journey and bring it to predominantly passive, with a token gesture mention of, yeah, super proactive things when people get so chronically fucked up that like a bit of exercise, a bit of meditation is like to give them a little bit of relief from their suffering, but not as a curative measure. Guys, again, it's authority. And it's authority from the most disempowering perspective. We go to governments. I mean, governments, you know, people that actually take on governments. JFK in the US, he spoke about like the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, that there was undercurrents, and he was there, he was going to, you know, root it out and get to the core of it. Like a really beautiful, positive, inspirational example of, you know, conscious masculinity. He wasn't perfect, but he wanted to create epic change. I mean, the history books will tell you what happened to him. I mean, John Lennon spoke to governments around the world, and like a week before his death, he was on, you know, live television going, hey, like, can somebody tell me what the governments are actually doing? Like one of his most famous songs, like Power to the People. It's like, what happened to him? Oh, again, some random lunatic just shot him. Okay. The most ruinous things of modern culture is that modern media and the people that control it behind the scenes go, oh, conspiracy theorist. You can push that at me there now. I don't mind. I'm grounded in myself. But I have observed tons of examples where, you know, governments in the world, they're not really there for the power of the people. There's economic agendas always, like how we incite hatred and division and the justification of war. Behind war, there's always like one evil enemy being put out. And when you hear behind the scenes, you have to dig really deep. There's always like a story there that's not being heard in modern media. It's total propagandic bullshit that has economic benefits that are not spoken about, always driving it. Always, it's a power play, and millions of people die. So it's another authority figure that's not really fucking there to support you as a human being. And our parents, you know, they loved us, they did our best, etc., etc. Maybe some of them were like brutally just off the mark, but they really corrupted our feeling of ownership over our own sovereignty. This is an extended way of saying, guys, that underneath the bonnet of your beautiful vehicle, of your body and your mind, I can pretty much guarantee you, this includes you, Brian, there are undercurrents of very potent beliefs that you've taken on subconsciously. You mightn't even be aware of them and how they show up in your present day life. But there's very justifiable reasons why there'd be beliefs there that, fuck this, I'm not going to put my sovereign body and mind and the destiny of my life into the care, into the support of an external authority. There's like a really justifiable resistance within you and within, like, countless men, the vast majority of men really don't want to fucking gain support from the outside. Why? Because, you know, we've been traumatized by authorities. We've had deep subconscious imprints into our nervous system and our minds, and we create our world from the same minds that were conditioned in childhood. We've deep imprints of it's not safe to put like your mind and your heart and your soul and your future and like into the care of others, into people that say fucking nice shit. They say that they've got your best interests at heart, but ultimately, subconsciously, there's a sacred part in every one of you that sort of goes, it's fucking bullshit. I'd rather do it by myself, because it's like, by yourself, at least you're in control. By yourself, your heart and your soul, it's under your sovereign control. Even if it's same shit, different day in your marriage, I'll fucking make this by myself. So this is what I haven't spoken to before. It makes a lot of sense, guys. Brian, you explicitly mentioning, you know, just reading the words again, man. You know, I feel like I need external support and accountability from the likes of you. But getting outside support feels weak. Feels like I'm failing as a man. Feels like I'm not good enough. And building, you, you, think you're building victim mentality. And there's this deep conflict inside of one part of you going, yeah, man, I feel I need support, but this other part going, fuck no. It makes sense. I want you to feel really validated in that resistance, Brian. And guys listening in, I know 99% of you, maybe 100% of you listening in, you know, this tendency of lone wolfing it in marriage. I know the podcast is sort of is nudging into gaining support, but again, it's on your terms. You listen to it, you come and go. Nobody's holding you accountable to listening to it. Tons of you are listening in. I know by the figures of people listening in, tons of you are regularly listening in. It's amazing. So I'm not downgrading that, but it still is lone wolfing. It's like picking up a book. Nobody's holding you accountable. And that's, there's a safety in that. The seeking external support, like Brian was saying, it's like maybe, could be me, could be stuff that I'm running, coaching, could be heroic husbands, men circles. Brian, you're speaking to that, I honor. Or also by your own sovereign power, you're like, it could be somebody else, it could be a therapist. And it's the same for everybody listening in. I am one option. I will say what I'm running is exceptionally powerful within this. But there can be other options out there. Whatever that external support might be, there's this really powerful conditioning under the system. Like if you look at it, I'm very passionate on this topic, by the way. I homeschool our girls because I want them to understand that they are the authors of their own lives. I want to bring your minds to this and like listen to this shit. Because when I made this link, I was like, wow, oh my God. Authority, the words authority, authentic, and author have the same root. Think about it. What's to be an author? You're the person writing the story. Who writes the story? The author. Okay? So the same root goes into authority. But an authority, the authority in organized religion, the authority in healthcare, the authority of governmental officials, the authority of the parent. Who's writing the story? The authority. You get it? They don't even hide it. It's like they're the authority. You've got to go to the authorities. They'll even say it and everyday language. Oh man, you need to reach out to the authorities on that. It's the authorities that's writing the story. And if authentic, if you go with the same thing and it's that root, this is where these words originated. Men, we seek to be authentic. In deep men's work, one of the core golden threads of every guy going to deep men's work is like, we want to connect with our authentic truth, who we really are, and be able to align our thinking, our talking, our taking action, because that's a man who's authentically expressing and writing his own story with his thinking, his talking, and his taking action is a man that can die at peace with himself. Right? It's true. No? Every man wants to live authentically. Because an authentic man is writing the story of his life on his terms. However, until you do deep work, when you're lone wolfing, there's tons of blind spots. When you believe that your thinking, your talking, and your taking action is the real you. But your blind spots is you don't realize that's just conditioning, that your belief systems in marriage has nothing to do with what you truly believe, what you have, you know, done deep dives into self-awareness, introspective journeys to discover, oh, that's exactly what I believe. No, like the vast majority of the time, 99.9999% of the time, it's a mishmash of interpretations you made and decisions you made subconsciously in belief systems from experiences you had witnessing your parents. A lot of time, irrational chaos growing up, that just you made a five-year-old's interpretation, and you took a stance back then, and your belief system comes from that. So your authentic truth is from authority figures that you totally trusted to be the representation of truth. You made a belief system of that. Healthcare, you've been going through healthcare, tons of experiences with healthcare. Authority, it's an authority. So your beliefs about your own health is sort of indoctrinated by a healthcare system that has authority over you. They want to instill beliefs in you, how so your behavior, you will behave in a way that will make them profits. But you will think, I'm an authentic man. This is how I go about healthcare. This is my belief system. I'm authentic. It's not really authentic because your belief system has been, you know, unconsciously conditioned by an external authority. Religious beliefs, etc. That's why so many people get into arguments and religious beliefs. That's why quite a few might get really triggered. Who does Mark think he fucking is to make any of these commentaries on religions? Because an external authority has conditioned you to believing certain things that supports a certain control that they have in a certain system. It's not really authentic, you know, when it's just you're rehashing like truths of external authorities. It's the authorities that are still telling the story through you. Where authenticity is when you go beyond and underneath the blind spots. And ultimately in all of this, obviously, Brian, you know, it's like you want to show up in marriage and make sure that all your efforts and self-work works to bring you happiness and connection in marriage, that you can end the needless struggle. And I say it's needless struggle. There's no need for your struggle, man. Your struggle is happening because your thinking, your ways, your habits of thinking, your habits of talking, your habits of taking action have been conditioned in childhood, and you're not aware that the printout in your mind every day that is like, this is reality. And judgments you make about horror, and judgments you make about yourself, and judgments you make about, oh, think about this topic. You know, it's like, oh, the judgment that I'm weak for reaching out for external support. I'm not enough. Man, that's not your authentic truth. That's a belief system from a society that has impressed upon you that that's a stance to take as a truth. What I have, like, and when you go at it like this, guys, you know, authority, modern society. I wouldn't even say it's culture. I like culture, for me, is like a sacred word. Modern society is based on authoritarianism. It is. Old cultures, indigenous cultures, still alive and kicking, but under vast attack, funnily enough, were based on radical authenticity. Indigenous cultures, I had four arrows on, I'm leaning back here before me, four arrows on a few months ago, an amazing elder, and he's done this Sundance rituals four times in the Ogala Lakota tradition. Stunningly beautiful man, and he's written the beautiful book Restoring the Kinship Worldview, how the 28 precepts for rebalancing life on planet Earth, where modern society has like the total opposite of all these indigenous tribes and traditions and cultures around the world, the total opposite. It's all disconnection based, alienation based, fear based modern society versus the old indigenous tribes. You know, they all had different traditions, different customs, different songs, different rituals, but they're all based on the same principles, which were connection-based, love-based, etc., etc. So in these indigenous cultures, Brian and all guys listening in, you know, what worked and still works, because men's work is a reflection of that, men's work is profoundly powerful at supporting you come into your sovereignty, coming into your full, radical, conscious, authentic expression. And how, when you come to there, Brian, how you can transform your marriage, because your woman, and guys, hear this, your woman wants your radical truth. No matter what experience you've had, tepidly going at your truth, or maybe you went sort of passive-aggressive at it, or aggressive, or she didn't receive it, blah, blah, blah. She didn't receive it because it wasn't safe, and there's a ton of conditioning there. But when you come with a safe expression of your radical, authentic truth, man, there's nothing more scintillating and attractive to your woman. When you own it, when you're not doing it with a handbrake up going, subconsciously questioning, is she going to receive you? No, you're just fucking there. You're there in your power, in how you speak, in how you act, in how you move, in how you fuck her, in how you make love with her, in how you touch her, in how you parent. Nothing is more attractive for her. She feels safe to the ground of her being when you're in that level of ownership of your radical, authentic expression moment to moment. That's a very, very, very rare state of being. It's my daily personal spiritual work to keep with conscious aggression fucking going there within myself. The man I am now is completely different to the man I was 4 years ago, where my woman was falling in love with another man, because I had no recognition and no knowledge and no capacity to express my radical, authentic truth. She wasn't feeling safe. She wasn't attracted to me. Our marriage was dead. This is true, guys. This is where you come in contact with this. However, Brian, speaking to your thing, it's like coming back to our, you know, beyond all of that conditioning, coming back into reconnecting and remembering your authentic truth. That happens in the presence of other men. In men's work and women's work, it's like there's this sort of like universal truth. Men heal with men, women heal with women. This has worked for millennia. Indigenous cultures, guys, they had like what we would call men's circles. They had them every week. It was a regular thing. You know, on a daily basis, men went together, hunting together. They were building houses together. They danced together. They did warrior training together. There were specific rites of passage that all the men of the village and the tribe, they went off when boys were coming of age. You know, they went off, whatever the bunch of boys in the village that were at that right time of age, of maturity, the men brought them off away from the village, sometimes for weeks, if not months at a time, to train them, to initiate them into from boyhood to manhood. It was done with support, guys. There was no lone wolfing. And it was sacred because it was all based on supporting and loving and indeed putting direct ferocious challenge in front of these boys to make sure that they became the best and most powerful, resilient men that they could become. And that was done before they were allowed the initiatory rite of passage into marriage. You've guessed it, the toughest initiation for men. And it's the final initiation. And these indigenous cultures would put you, would grill your ass psychologically, spiritually, physically, testing you as a young boy into a man, into a warriorship, etc., etc., rigorously challenging you to the point that you had proven yourself in challenge. Thus, you were an initiated man. You were then allowed, okay, access to the bond of marriage. You were ready. That all happened with group support. It was essential, and it still is essential. Look at this playing out in modern life. And I really want you guys to hear this because, guys, hundreds, if not like almost thousands, like just like amazing numbers of you listening in. There's always, you know, more guys listening in. There's hundreds of you listening in. The feedback is scintillating. It's like, I love the feedback. I love when I get on one-on-one calls with you or like messages. I've got emails in like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so beautiful for me to hear. To know that it's hitting the spot for you. I know by the numbers, like the regular numbers listening in, that it's hitting home in a very deep way. But it's like, if you just remain with podcasts and books as the only option available to you, because there's this background thing, belief that it's like, yeah, I could go to Heroic Husbands, men's circles, but fuck, like, that makes me weak. I'm now depending on other men. Depending on other men is like the most potent bridge to cross in your life. It really is. Look at the observations. I spoke to this previously, but like Conor McGregor, I have a soft spot for Conor, fellow Irishman. Conor McGregor, we would not know him if it wasn't for John Kavanagh, his coach. Read the autobiography of John Kavanagh, you'll hear behind the scenes stuff. Like Conor, super inspirational. You hear a lot of like his motivational, outlandish front side. But in the backside, man, he needed like the initiatory power of a powerful coach to challenge his ass to be the best he could be. He leaned in. Mike Tyson with Cus D'Amato. Like, would Mike have really went to the top? No, it was down to having the elder support of like a powerful, potent trainer that psychologically, spiritually, energetically could just be there like a father figure. You know, business masterminds. It's widely accepted. Don't do business alone. Get a business mastermind. The power of the mastermind is that like if you get like 5, 6, 7 individuals in together, the power of the mastermind of all of those minds working together, you'll make astounding progress. And you do. I'm part of a business mastermind myself. I was going it alone for years. I've made more progress in my business, in my movement, the podcast numbers, income, etc. Podcast numbers have went since I joined the mastermind. Have increased, I think it was like 1,000%. It was fucking crazy. It went from 25 listenership per week to up to a high of 820 something there a couple of weeks ago. The average was 3,000 listenership in the last 30 days. It's insane. It's off the charts. Business mastermind, guys, getting support. Other guys frying my ass in my blind spots. You think of the Buddhists and the Sangha. The Buddha taught, so get to your Sangha. Christian teachings, your church. There's tons of amazing church groups out there where you have support. You have community, people supporting you and challenging you to rise to your highest. Guys, it's needed. It's necessary. You're, in my experience, severely holding yourself back. Brian, speaking directly with you and then always again with by extension to all guys listening in, it's been my personal experience that my marriage started to transform with exponential, increasing, expansive energy from the first moment I went to a men's group. And that men's group was not specialized on marriage. In actual fact, why I've created Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is there's a ton of limitations within regular men's groups. A lot of them are facilitated by younger guys that have no real first-hand experience of marriage. And, you know, there's actually a lot of divorce guys in there because guys that go through divorce, they find men's group. They need support with the chaos of it. Or you've younger guys. And they're all brilliant. I love men's groups. I love the men's group that I'm in. I've loved all the men's groups I've been in. Some more than others. But I love when men get together. The sacred. When guys have the intention to love and accept and challenge each other. It's fucking, it's scintillating. It's beautiful. I had severe fears about joining a men's group. I was really cagey. I had learned to distrust men growing up really a lot, Brian. So I totally understand. I was petrified, actually. I got the email about the original men's group I wanted to join. I got an email about that. I signed up like something like 2 years previous. Man, it wasn't until my marriage nearly fell apart. Cool, I got there. Thankfully, I'm deeply grateful that we somehow managed to keep it together, that how I showed up initially when that incredible breakdown, breakthrough moment happened, that, you know, my initial response was powerful enough that my woman trusted me and I had time to get slowly but surely into deep men's work. But a lot of the time, guys, it can be too late. You know, I was speaking with Larry Hagner on the Dad Edge podcast. I had Larry in as a guest. It was on his podcast, an amazing podcast. It was the most sizable audience I've ever been in front of. I think it's going live this week. It's 2 million plus downloads. Amazing. I want to do what Larry has done with Be the Husband She Brags About podcast and a whole lot more, and want 10 million weekly listenership in 5 years' time. But Larry was saying, it was like he had a guest on that said that women, by the time they file for divorce, that you get the divorce paper slapped in front of you guys on a Monday morning as you drink your coffee, you know, before going off to work, and you get divorce paper slapped in front of you. She's been thinking about it for 2 years on average. By the time you get it put in front of you, it's 2 years. What's that in days? It's 700 and how many fucking days? Like 30 days. 730 days of contemplating frequently or not so frequently, but building momentum behind, no, enough is enough, I'm done. Guys, don't wait to reach out when you're at desperation point, when your marriage gets to the point where, man, it's fucking lights out, breakdown, breakthrough. I mean, I got through, I'm grateful, it was super intense. But it was also touch and go. For months it was touch and go. Why I'm doing this podcast is that it doesn't need to be touch and go for you. No one of you listening in needs to get to breakdown, breakthrough, divorce papers or separation, impending separation. Your bag's packed, the lock's changed. You don't need to get to that point until you finally grudgingly go, fuck it, I need support. That's not the time. It can work. It worked for me. It has worked for guys I've coached one-on-one. Incredible transformations can happen. But I'm saying it's much more prudent to get it now. Best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago or today. The best time to join a men's group to support you in marriage and in life and in every single one of your endeavors on this journey as a man is 20 years ago or it's today. Waiting indefinitely with good intentions, and I might get around to that and I might consider it. It sort of feels inspirational, but I'll just keep going it my own way. I'm just saying, you know, the reason that most of you guys are listening in is because there's an intense struggle in your marriage. That's okay. It makes you human. All the conditioning and the belief system we've brought in, man, it's hard not to like create struggle unwittingly with the fucked up society we've been brought up in and intergenerational millennia of bullshit, authority, blah, 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 all of that shit. It's hard not to have it. It's like, Brian, what you were saying, you're feeling that you're not good enough. Man, that's on society. That's on like the millennia of societal norms handed down to you. You are good enough. But getting support, Brian, you know, the Conor McGregors, the business masterminds, the Elon Musks, the Mark Ushers, my entire thing, Brian, I'm not a self-made man. I found myself with the support of, like, it's tons of guys, coaches, teachers, direct, in direct communication, getting my ass coached off me, and my blind spots revealed. Amazing men in men's groups. I've been in a men's group, Brian, for the last 3.5-4 years, I'm losing track of time here, like with a couple of months where I didn't have. And to be honest, when I got back, I was like, I left some of them because I'd outgrown them, whatever, they stopped. But anytime I come back, I'm like, man, I can't be without this. I can, but I don't want to be without this support. And my life, not just in marriage, Brian, not just my love life, but my parenting, my health, my sense of inner peace, my authentic expression in the world, my expression, the podcast, my business, income, and whole life future, you know, just that's coming up in my mind. That comes from my confidence that has happened from reaching out, crossing that barrier inside of myself, crossing that bridge energetically, reaching out, and I haven't looked back since, man. And for all guys listening in, like, there's no, I think this is like one last spot. There's no improvement without awareness. And do you know what the blind spots? By definition, you're blind to them. If there's no improvement without awareness, well, there's no awareness if you're blind. And in men's circles, in heroic husbands, men's circles, one-on-one coaching with me, It's like, from the outside, it's so easy to go, hey, dude, like, you know, you're not able to see the situation. Take those black glasses off your face. Ah, and then you take them off, and you're like, whoa, a new reality. When you don't know you're blind, when you don't know it's a psychological blind spot, you can't see the opportunities for connection, the opportunities for growth, the opportunities for communicating in a slightly different way or a radically different way, in making love a different way, in setting up the container for making love in a different way. You see everything through the masculine goggles of that makes sense to you as a man, but you have no idea that there's an entire different reality, which is the feminine side, which is your woman's side. But you've blind spots. You don't know. That's never been embodied for you. That's what happens in one-on-one coaching with me in Heroic Husbands Men Circles. It's like you get to take the glasses off that has blinded you and you go, whoa. And an entire different reality shows up in front of you. And man, from there, rooted in your radical, authentic truth, your rapidly rising connection with your with unstoppable self-confidence, with your capacity to be connected with yourself, with your capacity to communicate with like kingly ease and play the beautiful masculine feminine dance with your queen, you know, and create red hot sexual attraction like it's never been there before. Man, what a beautiful fucking game. And that's a game, guys, the game of marriage. You know, it can be fun. It's the path to self-mastery. And the path of self-mastery, when you tap into that and you realize marriage is inviting and challenging you to self-mastery, but you get the external support to start knowing how to play that game, man, life changes, your marriage changes, your woman looks at you like you're the king that she was born to fall in love with. It was her destiny to have a man like you. You're the fucking king of your kingdom. Your kids looking up at you, your friends admiring you, and you live happily ever fucking after. That is the one game and the only game if you are a married man listening in. Brian, thank you so much for your courage. My deep appreciation to you directly. Guys, the challenge is there's a voice message option in the podcast description. Let me know what your number one struggle is and I'll prepare an epic episode like this personally for you. Sending you all lots of love, lots of brotherly appreciation and honouring from Roscommon, Ireland. Ending with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.